At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to All Sides with Anna Staver. It's our spring membership drive, but we'll get back to that in just a minute. Mushrooms come in all shapes and sizes. There's even a few bioluminescent ones that glow in the dark. And for nearly two decades, Don King has taught people about the edible and medicinal mushrooms right here in Ohio. He's a forager, a chef, and a wild food enthusiast. He even has the title The Mushroom Hunter. He's also the director of mycology for Akron-based Epiphany Mushroom Company, and he's here to talk all about edible mushrooms in Ohio, how to find them, how to cook them, and how not to accidentally poison yourself. Welcome to All Sides, Don.
Thanks for having me.
But before we get into all things fungi, I want to remind you that it is our spring membership drive, and listener support is the most important part of our budget. So please make a gift right now at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. For a membership of $15 a month as a sustainer, or a one-time gift of $180, you're going to get a very special mushroom-related offer. So you're going to get a ticket to a WOSU Public Media exclusive member-only event. It is a mushroom identification class hosted by Don King, the mushroom hunter himself. The class will be held on Sunday afternoon, May 19th, at the WOSU headquarters here in our Ross Community Studio. The class will start at 1 p.m., and during the event, you're going to get hands-on experience on how to find, identify, preserve, and prepare some of the species of mushrooms that we have here in Ohio and the Midwest. You're going to learn about morels, oysters, wood ears, and more from the mushroom hunter himself. Plus, everyone who attends the class gets a great book called Appalachian Mushrooms. The book is the ultimate field guide to finding and identifying mushrooms. So get your ticket to our special class and get this great book for $15 a month or a one-time gift of $180. And I'm going to be there too. I love mushrooms. Don will take the lead. I will be his lovely assistant for that afternoon, Sunday, May 19th. So don't miss your chance to attend this exclusive WOSU member event. And I should add that parking is included, and we're going to have some light refreshments. So get some snacks, get to meet me, get to meet Don, learn all about mushrooms here in Ohio. It's going to be a great afternoon. We'll have some fun learning, and it's a gift that supports public radio. If you listen to All Sides every day, then we're asking you to support the programs you listen to and value. You listen to 89.7 NPR News because you know you can trust the news you hear on our station. So we're asking for your gift of support. Make this drive a success. Call 866-897-9678 or give at WOSU.org. Give $15 a month and get access to this exclusive mushroom identification event and a really great book. So, Don, I want to begin our conversation with the most well-known mushroom that grows here in Ohio, the morel. Mm-hmm. And it's almost morel season.
It is. It's actually several weeks into morel season for a lot of Ohio. Morels are one of the first sort of highly sought-after culinary mushrooms that come up in spring. There are others, but they are... I think they're special because of how elusive they are and how hard it is to sometimes find that honey hole or that spot where you're hopefully going to be able to go back year after year and find more.
And they're delicious.
Yeah, they're delicious. They're ephemeral as well. So although they can grow for many weeks if the conditions are right, they can also sort of dry up if it's too dry. They can start to rot or turn moldy if it's too wet. So we kind of have to have this perfect storm, slight pun intended, of environmental conditions for them to just sort of be in their prime.
And I think they're a great starter mushroom if you're just starting out foraging, because I think they're really easy to identify. So what should we be looking for when we're hunting for a morel?
So morels, the species that we have in Ohio, which to simplify, I'm going to say we have four, they tend to grow around certain trees. So the species that we have in Ohio are considered to be mycorrhizal mushrooms, meaning they require a sort of symbiotic relationship with plants or trees. They're not necessarily decomposers. They're not like oysters and other things that are going to be growing on stumps and logs. They want healthy living soil. So certain trees are the key. So when you're out in the woods, for instance, if you're in a primarily, let's say, oak maple beech forest, which a lot of Ohio tends to be, your likelihood of finding morels there, not very good. However, if you're familiar with your tree species, which is kind of key this early in the season, ash, elm, those are great species to look for morels near. Hickory, sycamore, cherry, apple, and there are a couple of others that I'm probably missing right now. A spruce can be good as well. And so, you know, we're really looking for sometimes healthy trees that will kind of support these mushrooms for year after year, or sometimes even dead or dying trees like ash and elm that the mushrooms associate with. But once the trees start to die, they're super prolific. They'll come up sort of in droves for several years, because that source of food is now about ready to, you know, to go away. And the mushrooms, I mean, I would say sense that, and they want to spread their spores so they can kind of colonize new areas.
Oh, that's fascinating. So it might be, if you get morels on your property, it might be a sign that your tree is at the end of its life.
Could be, if it's around the, especially ash and elm. Those are the ones that tend to be the sort of best for dead and dying trees. Healthy cherries and apples and hickory are actually really, really good as well.
And if you've never seen a morel, they have sort of like an off-white stalk, and then they kind of, I don't know if it's like a brain or like, it's got this weird top that's very, very distinctive. But importantly, the inside, if you slice it in half, is going to be hollow all the way to the top, right?
Generally speaking, yes. So morels are very distinctive. They do have a stem and a cap, but they don't look like a portobello something like that. They don't really have gills underneath or like kind of any kind of ring on the stem. A lot of people call them sponge mushrooms because they kind of do look like a sponge. The cap has basically pits or grooves kind of cut into the cap. They're generally hollow, but there are some species that can have folds of flesh kind of in the stem. And so that is a defining characteristic, but every once in a while you might pass up a true morel because you'll slice it in half and kind of see that it's not all the way hollow. And that you might be passing up a good mushroom.
Also, what we have here in Ohio that's pretty common is chicken of the woods. Mm-hmm. Now, I think that's usually fall, but they can even show up in spring, right?
Sure. Yeah, I definitely see far more chicken of the woods in late summer and fall. But while out hiking for morels, almost yearly, I find some early chicken of the woods.
And these are big.
These are big. These can get, you could find a flush of chicken of the woods, let's say on a stump or log, up to 50 or 100 pounds of these things growing on the same stump or log. And they tend to come back every year as well. Also a really safe mushroom to start with because they are so distinctive. They're bright orange. I mean, like you can spot
them. You can't miss
them. From like 100 yards away. They generally have a yellow underside. There's a species that has a white underside as well. Still, actually, I would say that that's more delicious than the yellow underside variety. They don't have gills either, so they just have this pore surface on the underside.
Taste like chicken.
Yeah, they do. Or they're very mild. They have like a very meaty texture. They can certainly be used in place of chicken or meat in from everything from like sort of pulled pork, you know, pulled chicken of the woods. You can grill it. You can make jerky out of it. You can do it. It's so many things with that mushroom.
But a small percentage of people can get stomach upset from chicken of the woods.
Sure. Yeah. And morels, actually.
Yeah.
While these mushrooms are, you know, enjoyed by billions of people across the world and have been for, you know, thousands of years, there's no accounting for personal reaction to anything. So there are some people who can eat any kind of mushroom, but then one species just doesn't sit well in their stomach. Yeah, morels are kind of up there on that list, especially if they're used past prime. Because of how rare they are, and sometimes people get so excited when they finally find them, and they might not be in the best shape to eat. They could be a little bit past prime. A lot of times people push that. That's definitely not something that's going to be great for your gastrointestinal tract. But also they need to be thoroughly cooked. Morels are technically toxic raw. They have some compounds that you do not want to ingest. Now, cooking them thoroughly absolutely mitigates these compounds, but it is something that a lot of these mushroom issues, even with chicken of the woods, are from undercooked mushrooms. Mushrooms are hard to digest in general. Their cell walls are made out of chitin, which is basically the same thing that makes up your fingernails and exoskeletons of insects. So your body, even your stomach acids, have a hard time with this. Cooking, fermenting, somehow disrupting those cell walls is what really makes them more digestible and makes all of the great stuff that are in mushrooms more bioavailable to us.
And we're going to talk a little bit more about how to safely cook mushrooms in just a minute, but I want to say thank you to Amanda Reuter from Columbus. This hour of All Sides is all about mushrooms because it is actually spring mushroom season here in Ohio. And you are listening to all of this during our spring membership drive. And for this hour, we're offering a very special thank you gift. For $15 a month as a sustainer, you're going to get a ticket for a WOSU public media exclusive mushroom identification class with Don King, the mushroom hunter. And me, if that matters, I will be there too. And you can join us Sunday, May 19th at 1 p.m. So don't miss this one-of-a-kind experience for WOSU members only. It's $15 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $180, and you get a ticket to this event. Plus, everyone who attends gets a copy of the book Appalachian Mushrooms. It's the ultimate mushroom field guide. Hundreds of pages of just very detailed shots, the kind of shots that will help you feel confident in knowing that you're picking the right mushroom. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And if you can't make it to the event, but you still love mushrooms, then for $10 a month or a one-time gift of $120, you'll get the book Appalachian Mushrooms. It's written by Walter Sturgeon, and he's one of the region's foremost mushroom hunters. The book is unparalleled in its accuracy and its currency. It has detailed photographs and wonderful descriptions, including when the author just doesn't know whether a mushroom is edible or not. Or he believes it to be, but he's never tried it himself. Like, it is full, honest descriptions. Give $10 a month to get this great book and support public radio, too. Visit WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. We are listener-supported, 89.7 NPR News. We count on listeners like you to give what you can during membership drives. In return, we bring you news and information that you can trust every day. All Sides is here for you every morning at 10, talking about what's going on in Ohio. We have in-depth, thoughtful conversations, and we do that because we're listener-supported. So make a gift now or at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And I want to thank you to Aaron Kelly from Columbus. Thank you so much, Aaron. And again, our thank you gift this hour is a ticket to a mushroom identification class on Sunday, May 19th at 1 p.m. If you have a mom who loves mushrooms, this might be a great Mother's Day gift. We're going to have light refreshments and enjoy an afternoon learning how to find, identify, preserve, and prepare mushrooms. Parking is included, and everyone who attends the class also gets that Appalachian Mushrooms book, too. So you get to meet me, Dawn, learn about mushrooms, have some snacks, hang out. Maybe, if you're feeling like it, I can take you upstairs, give you a tour of the studio, show you, like, where the quote-unquote magic happens. So join us for $15 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $180. Visit WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And I want to circle back to cooking because a lot of mushrooms are not safe unless you cook them. But I do want to bring up an important point. Is that mushrooms have to be ingested to be toxic, right? They're not Correct. Like poison ivy. So holding it in your hand isn't going to kill you.
No. You're exactly right. The toxins in mushrooms basically have to enter your bloodstream through your digestive tract. So unless you're maybe bathing in toxic mushrooms, soaking in them, you are not going to get any of those toxins into your body. You would basically have to, you know, eat part of it. You can actually, and I don't recommend this for beginners, you could actually chew up and spit out a poisonous mushroom, even a deadly mushroom. And as long as you don't swallow any of that, people do it all the time. As long as you don't swallow it, you're going to be fine. Often, this is kind of an advanced thing, but often tasting the mushroom is the sort of, can be like the final nail in the coffin to identify it. So it's sometimes, and usually we're not dealing with potentially toxic mushrooms. We're often dealing with potentially bitter mushrooms. And so we taste them to ensure that, you know, we're not going to ruin our entire dinner by mixing a bitter mushroom in with all the good ones.
Yeah, I will say that's one of the fascinating things about the Appalachian Mushroom book is it'll say not edible or poisonous. So it sort of delineates between ones that just don't taste good and ones that, you know, can make you very sick.
Exactly.
I did want to talk about one because I think one of the concerns that keeps people from foraging is that fear of picking a poisonous mushroom and getting themselves or their family sick. And sometimes there's lookalikes. And I want to talk about crown-tipped coral, because it does have a pretty good lookalike.
Yeah, so crown-tipped coral is also, I would say, like a spring mushroom. I generally start finding those towards the end of morel season when it's starting to warm up. They grow from logs and stumps. It's a beautiful mushroom.
It looks like coral.
Yeah,
like
it looks exactly like coral. It's a beautiful mushroom. I love the flavor and the texture. It's sort of, it's earthy. It's a little, to me, it tastes a little bit like morels, but maybe a little peppery, like a little black pepper spice. And it stays kind of crunchy when you cook it. So it has this amazing texture. But yeah, there are some species in the genus Romaria. Romaria is a genus of also a lot of different coral mushrooms, some that look like the crown-tipped coral. But they're also, Romaria are often referred to as jelly coral, or jelly-based corals, because the base of where all of those little, you know, fronds are coming up, little sticks, it's thick, and it is kind of like a gel almost. If you kind of break into it, the crown tip coral doesn't have that. It kind of goes down to a slightly dark base, but it looks kind of like a tree, you know, like you'll have the central sort of stem and all the branches coming off, and it doesn't really have that jelly look. And they also have the crown tips. Each one of those little tips of the coral have like 4 to 6 little spires.
It's almost like a little triton on top.
Exactly, which is a defining characteristic of that as well. And also a lot of the Romaria some of them are edible. Some of them are mildly toxic. We're not talking deadly mushrooms, but you're not going to have a good time if you eat the wrong one. But here's where that taste test could come in handy. The Romarias do not have that peppery taste. Some of them can be bitter. And so kind of like, you know, chewing up a little bit and spitting it out can get you a little further in your identification. Generally speaking, once you know what to look for, that's absolutely unnecessary.
Yeah, and the crown-tipped coral only grows out of decaying logs,
yes,
right? If you
exactly.
find one growing in the ground, it's not that.
It's not that, yeah. So crown-tipped coral is a we call a saprobic or a saprophytic mushroom, which are the decomposers. And yeah, it's going to grow out of logs, stumps, generally really close to the ground. There are a few species of Romaria that can grow out of wood, but most of them tend to just grow straight out of the soil. Just, you know, you're not going to see any wood or anything around.
And that's like one of the things that we can go over in the class in May.
Is absolutely.
If it's growing out of a log, it might be a crown tip. If it's growing in the middle of the path, it's not.
Probably not. Yeah. And I would actually urge people who are going to donate to sign up for this class, feel free to bring in your own mushrooms. If you want to hike earlier that morning, the day before, if you want some hands-on, like, you know, you're not sure or you want confirmation that this is a morel or this is the species, throw them in the fridge, bring them in, and it'll be a little show and tell. I'm going to try to do that myself.
I'll try to do that too. I'll go out and I'll find stuff.
Yeah, let's hope that the weather is is conducive to that. But I'm 100%. I'd love to do that.
If we got some close up photographs of a mushroom that we saw, could that also be?
Yes, that is. Photographs of mushrooms are second best to seeing them in person. I will say, though, that we need photographs from all angles. So a lot of people try to send photos, to me or on identification groups on Facebook, and they'll sort of take one photo of the mushroom, like from the top down. And when you're only seeing the top of the mushroom, for the vast majority of them, it is very difficult to know what that is. We liken it to, take a drone footage shot of people from the top, and are you going to be able to even identify your uncle if it's just the top of their head? Maybe, but probably not. So pick that mushroom. Again, we've established that is absolutely fine to do. Take a photo of the underside. Take a photo, real good photos of the stem. Note where it's growing. What trees are nearby. That could help. If you're bringing in a photo that you took last fall, that's important to know that it is not a currently growing mushroom. It's not a current photo because mushrooms are very often season specific. So all those things help.
I want to say thanks to Beth Crane from Columbus, and thank you to Carrie Robinson from Pickerington. I look forward to seeing all of you guys at the class. This is listener-supported 89.7 NPR News, and this is All Sides, and it's our membership drive. Support the in-depth conversations we bring you every day. You only find this kinds of news and information on public radio, and so support the station at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And this is a very special time to become a member because this hour only we have a great thank you gift. For $15 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $180, you're going to get a ticket to a mushroom identification class hosted by Don King, our guest today. This class is exclusive for WOSU members only. You can only get a ticket by becoming a member right now. So you'll get to meet Don. You'll get to meet me. You can take a tour of the studio. Don't miss this chance. We have a limited number of tickets. So if you want to attend this workshop, make that gift of $15 a month and secure your ticket right now. You'll spend a fun afternoon with public radio members and fans of All Sides and me. And you will learn everything you need to know about wild mushrooms found in Ohio and the Midwest. The event is a Sunday afternoon, May 19th, beginning at 1 p.m. The event takes place here at WOSU's headquarters in the beautiful Ross Community Studio. We are located just south of 15 and High in the heart of Ohio State's campus. And parking will be provided, so don't worry about that. Make that gift right now. That's one ticket for $180 as a one-time gift or $15 a month as a sustainer. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And the class takes place just after Mother's Day. So if your mom or grandma is a mushroom hunter or just really loves mushrooms and maybe wants to learn a little more, this might be a great gift. Give $30 a month and get two tickets to the event. Plus, everybody who attends gets a copy of Walter Sturgeon's great book, Appalachian Mushrooms. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Your membership right now gets you a great thank you gift, a ticket to this event, and it supports the programs you listen to every day. Your gift to 89.7 NPR News is essential to the future of this station. You know what's going on in Columbus thanks to the award-winning local news from the WOSU team. You hear in-depth, thoughtful discussion about our community on all sides. And all of this essential news that you can trust is only thanks to listener contributions. So do your part. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And remember, Don said bring your own mushrooms. We'll have a show and tell. I will go mushroom hunting, you know, the Saturday before this event. Don says he's going to go out and look. And I want to talk a little bit about foraging. What kind of tools should we bring?
So when I'm out looking for mushrooms, there are like two things that I'm always carrying with me. One is a decent knife. A mushroom hunting knife is even better.
I didn't know they were that specific.
Yeah, there are, and I even have one in my pocket. They're generally called French style French mushroom knives. So they have kind of a curved blade, but also a brush. So,
oh my goodness, it's got a brush.
Yeah. So once you
cut it, almost looks like a little claw,
doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So before I had this, I would go to like the dollar store basically and get little cheapo paint brushes, like house painting brushes, the small ones, and I would cut the bristles down so that I'd have varying like stiffnesses, I guess. And I would do all my excavation out in the woods. But basically, you know, once you harvest a mushroom, there's a lot of times, you know, dirt, sand. I try to avoid washing them if at all possible. And it's impossible to wash them in the woods unless it's raining. But basically, you want to keep it nice and clean to put in my basket. And that's the second thing that I always recommend. A lot of people will use mesh bags or paper bags even. That's also fine. I really like baskets. They're a little bit more cumbersome to like carry through the woods, but they allow you to really pile mushrooms up without sort of crushing them. And what I found, especially with sort of fragile species like morels, they can kind of crumble apart pretty easily. And if you're putting them in like a rough mesh bag and piling them up and carrying them around, what I found is that I would get home and I would just have like crumbs, chunks of mushrooms at the bottom. It doesn't really happen with a basket, but something to carry your mushrooms in. The thing that's not recommended is generally plastic bags. Plastic bags are okay. Like I don't mind doing that, especially on a cool day in the fall. But if it's humid, if it's warm, those mushrooms are going to start to sweat inside that bag, and they can start to get kind of mushy. They can start to deteriorate. Not that there's necessarily any scientific evidence for this, but a lot of people believe also that carrying mushrooms in a mesh sack or in a basket will help to spread those spores. So in a bag, they're kind of trapped in there. You're going to bring them home, but they're not going to get out of that bag. Mushrooms are releasing spores all the time. They've likely released millions, if not billions, of spores before you even harvest them. But they really kind of go crazy after they're picked, because it sort of, again, it freaks them out. They're like, oh my gosh, I'm the fruiting body of this organism. I need to reproduce. Let's eject our spores as fast as possible. So doing that may or may not help. It's hard to prove. It's certainly not going to hurt anything.
Speaking of hard to prove, I have heard anybody who goes foraging for mushrooms has all these different theories about what conditions are needed to make them grow.
Yeah.
People get real superstitious about
they
it.
They do.
Too.
It's like, oh, you know, the lilacs have to bloom like 2 weeks after a full moon. You know, there are all these things that have been passed down, and every like family you talk to has a different story.
My father-in-law says the little umbrella plants have to come up but not open, and that's when the morels pop.
Right, those are May apples, I believe you're talking about, the little May apple plants. So I mean, they are on a specific timeline, and that's all dictated by environmental conditions. So it's not just one thing though. It's soil temperature. temperature, it's humidity, it's the air temperature not getting too cold or too warm too quickly, especially for something like morels that are a little more sensitive to that. But then again, there are some mushrooms that need that aren't going to grow until the hottest parts of the year. You're not going to find them until July or August because that's, you know, that's when they thrive. Chanterelles and black trumpets and other mushrooms like that, or at least in Ohio, you're not going to usually find those like in the spring. It's a little too cold. So mushrooms definitely need water, not too much. They need and or humidity. Sometimes even if it's just humid enough, that mycelium, that is the actual organism that's growing under the soil or in that log, can absorb that humidity directly and produce mushrooms from that. So it's not, you know, it's not just necessarily rainfall.
I saw a video of yours where you compared mushroom hunting to fishing, and I have to say I really loved that analogy.
Yeah, to me, I grew up, so a tiny little bit of context, I kind of grew up in a mycophobic society to begin with, and family. We were taught that all mushrooms are toadstools, you know, you step on them, you mow them over, you never touch them. So I had a big learning curve to kind of overcome that. But yeah, I think, I just got sidetracked and forgot your question.
Oh, about comparing it to fishing.
Oh yeah, comparing it to fishing. So I grew up in a fishing and a little bit of a hunting family. And, you know, fishing was, it was never about necessarily, you know, bringing home dinner. Like, that would be the ultimate goal. But fishing was just, you know, it was random. You never knew if you're going to come home with something. But just the act of doing it was the addictive part. And to me, mushroom hunting is the same thing. And a bad day of mushroom hunting is a great day in the woods. You're forest bathing, you know, you're getting all of these great microbes and breathing in all this good stuff. You're probably getting a little bit of vitamin D out there in the sun. And it's, to me, that is, you know, coming home with mushrooms is obviously the goal. But that's a bonus to me.
I think the fear is because there are mushrooms, even mushrooms here in Ohio, that have really wicked sounding names. I want to talk a little bit about some of the deadliest mushrooms here in Ohio, like the destroying angel. I mean, that just sounds bad.
It sounds bad, and it is bad. Destroying angels are one of the most toxic species of mushrooms in the world. It's a group of a bunch of sort of different mushrooms that are kind of under this one umbrella, and they're in the Amanita genus. And Amanitas range from the most deadly mushrooms that we have to, you know, the Amanita muscaria, which is your classic, I don't know, super Mario mushroom, red with the white spots, to culinarily delicious mushrooms in the same genus, and even a whole group of them that are regularly eaten raw, which is, again, usually the exception. But yeah, these are kind of summer mushrooms. They're bright white. Everything about them is white. They have a white cap, a white stem, a white skirt on the stem, white gills, and a kind of a white vulval sac that they pop out of. And they're very beautiful. I mean, they are magnificent mushrooms and can grow, like, I found them sometimes 12 or 14 inches tall. They can be very huge. And yes, great to observe, fun to, like, you know, pick and look at. Definitely not something you want to eat. The toxins in there, the mycotoxins, basically attack your liver and can cause your liver to shut down generally several days later, which is also odd because, you know, a lot of people who have eaten these things and lived, first of all, said that they were some of the best tasting mushrooms they've ever had.
No.
And they're like, well, it must be a good mushroom. You know, that night they didn't feel sick. They felt fine. The next day they felt fine. The third day, their liver shuts down. So it is it's a scary mushroom. I think when you're getting into this, it's important to know the toxic, especially the deadly toxic mushrooms. It's important, as important to know that as what you're looking for to actually bring home to cook and eat.
I want to say thank you to David Schmidt from Columbus, and you can learn which mushrooms you should or shouldn't be eating if you become a part of the WOSU family during this spring membership drive, because this is listener-supported 89.7 NPR News, and we have a very special event exclusive for WOSU Public Media members. If you make a gift of $15 a month as a sustainer, or a one-time gift of $180, you're going to get a ticket to a mushroom identification class. That's $15 a month as a sustainer right now, so don't miss this opportunity. We have a limited number of tickets. Make a gift of $15 a month, which can be withdrawn from your checking account or charged to your credit card. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. The event is Sunday afternoon, May 19th at 1 p.m. You're going to participate in a class led by the mushroom hunter, Don King, who's with us this hour. He's going to help you learn how to find, identify, preserve, and prepare mushrooms. Plus, everyone who attends the class gets a copy of Walter Sturgeon's book, Appalachian Mushrooms. It's a comprehensive field guide that is unparalleled in its accuracy and currency. Make a gift and get a ticket to our special event on May 19th. I'll be there. Don will be there. We're going to have refreshments. Parking is covered. It's going to be a really fun afternoon. You can bring in your own mushrooms and Don will identify them for you. And it's $15 a month or a one-time gift of $180. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. If you can't make the event, but you still want to learn more about mushrooms and foraging, then you can get the Appalachian Mushrooms Identification Book for $10 a month or a one-time gift of $120. It's a great way to support public radio, and you get a wonderful book as your thank you gift. The book includes more than 400 species in all their diversity, beauty, and scientific interest, and a bunch of the ones we've been talking about, like crown-tip corals. Get the book for $10 a month when you give it WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. If you listen to All Sides every day, then you know this show is committed to producing in-depth, focused conversations on important issues to Columbus and Central Ohio. You hear from our weekly reporter roundtable every Monday morning. You hear straight from newsmakers from all sides of the political spectrum. And if having a locally focused talk show is important to you, then now is the time to make a gift and support the station. Give at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. So you said you grew up in a anti-mushroom household. Mm-hmm. How did you get into them?
I think what the first thing that just piqued my interest, I was living in Minnesota at the time and was watching a PBS cooking show. And I don't remember much about it, except it was an Irish couple, and they were in their, you know, kitchen cooking. And at one point they said, all right, let's go look for some mushrooms. And the camera, you know, followed them out in the woods, and they filled up baskets of like all of these beautiful mushrooms, different colors and shapes. And I'm thinking to myself, those are toadstools, of course, right? That's the only frame of reference I had. How do they know they're edible? What are they doing with these things? And they brought them back and cooked them, started talking about them. And that really got me interested. It was probably several years later, I moved back to Ohio and was just noticing all these mushrooms growing in our yard all year long. Dozens and dozens of different mushrooms. I had mentioned how interested I was to my brother-in-law. He gave me the book, The Audubon Field Guide to North American Mushrooms, which was, you know, like the mushroom Bible for a long time for North America. And I just read that thing, you know, cover to cover, like it was a novel, and wanted to know everything about these things. And basically that spring, I started to go out to look for morels. It took me several years to find morels. That did not happen right away. But I found a puffball in my yard. And I'm like, okay, I could identify this thing. I know it's for sure this particular species called a purple spore puffball. It said it was edible. It didn't say it was a choice edible. But that, you know, you can eat this. And I cooked it and it was fine. I'm like, okay, now I have one. I survived. It's one under my belt. It's sort of, I call puffballs like the tofu of the woods, because they're sort of soft in texture. They don't have a lot of flavor, but they kind of soak up the flavor of what you cook them in. And then just one by one, I started to teach myself how to identify these mushrooms and became more confident with more species as I learned each year.
Do you have a favorite kind of mushroom?
Oh, boy, I do. My favorite mushroom, well, I have lots of favorite mushrooms depending on the context. My favorite mushroom to eat is a mushroom I don't find very often, which is probably why it's my favorite, because I can't get sick of it because I can't find enough of them. But it's just called a parasol mushroom. It's in the genus Macrolepiada. And this is kind of more of a late summer fall mushroom.
Does it grow here?
It grows here. It grows in lawns, and you can also find them in the woods. It has a really, really tall, thin stem that has like a snake skin pattern on it. It has a felt-like ring that you can actually kind of move up and down the stem. You know, it's sort of, it can detach. And it has this kind of shaggy cap. It's a very unassuming looking mushroom. You can't even eat the stem. It's too tough. The only thing that you can eat is this cap. But there's something about this mushroom that to me tastes like, 10 pounds of mushrooms kind of concentrated down into this one little like cap with like cinnamon notes and all these things. It is one of the It not one of it is the most delicious mushroom I've ever tasted. And again, if I found a lot of those and ate them every day, I might not feel the same way, but I can go years, seasons without seeing this thing.
I'm going to have to go look that up afterwards in a book that we're giving out to our listeners if they donate, because you sold me on it. Yeah. I've never had it. I probably have walked past one and never thought of it.
Yeah, you wouldn't. Yeah, you would kind of look at it and be like, "Oh, you know how it's a very unassuming mushroom." But yeah, the Walt Sturgeon's book is an amazing resource. I mean, there are plenty of other field guides out there as well. A lot of them are just kind of old. You know, they're not up to date on taxonomy. They might not even be up to date on edibility. Generally speaking, the good thing is if they're going to err, if they're going to make a mistake about the edibility, very often they were too conservative. And some of the older books will say something's inedible when we now know it is. It's usually not the other way around, where all of a sudden we found out this thing is toxic. They were listed as edible because they were widely consumed for a long time. Having an up-to-date field guide like this one, and this is, again, a big book. It is super comprehensive. It's not necessarily a pocket guide, right? This thing is not something you're going to put in your back pocket. It's more of a backpack guide. But there, I think there's a smaller version actually that Walter Sturgeon co-authored, and it's something like Mushrooms of the Northeastern United States. That's kind of like a very abridged version, but that's kind of a little bit more of a pocket guide. But of course, it's not as comprehensive because it's much smaller.
Yeah, and because they're not deadly to touch, you could always just grab them, take them home, and then look at the book and figure out what it is.
Exactly.
I want to say thank you to Ryan Gilmore from Columbus. This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News, and this is our spring membership drive. Your support pays for the programs you listen to every day. Programs like All Sides and All Things Considered and Wait, Don't Tell Me. These programs are paid for with listener support. And in return for your membership, we're offering a great gift. You're going to get a ticket to an exclusive WOSU member event, a mushroom identification class. A ticket is $15 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $180. The class is happening Sunday, May 19th at 1 p.m. here in the Ross Community Studio at WOSU headquarters. Parking is provided, so don't worry about that. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Tickets for this class are limited, and you're running out of time to get a spot. Support All Sides for $15 a month and get a great experience. The class is going to be hosted by Don King. You're going to be surrounded by other members of 89.7 NPR News and fans of this show and me. Plus, everyone who attends gets a copy of that Appalachian Mushroom Identification book by Walter Sturgeon. Join us. It's $15 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $180. And if you want to bring a friend, make a gift of $30 a month for two tickets and two books. Visit WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. as a regular listener to All Sides, you know that we bring you a diverse range of topics. Every Monday, you hear the weekly reporter roundtable and learn about the latest bills moving through the legislature. We recently aired a six-week series called Untangled, where we take a complicated issue and untangle it for you, explain it in detail. The series was Untangling the Housing Crisis. And in June, we're coming back untangling immigration and how we should think about it as Ohioans. If you appreciate this kind of journalism, then make a gift today. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And you're running out of time to get a seat in our mushroom identification class. For $15 a month or a one-time gift of $180, don't wait. Give now at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. You know, I did a deep dive into your website, which you're free to plug in just, well, here, what's your website?
It's themushroomhunter.com.
Very easy to remember. Mm-hmm. And you have a lot of great videos on all different kinds of mushrooms, but one I had never heard of was pheasant backs. And you say they taste like bacon when you cook them?
Yeah, pheasant backs are also, they're out right now. They're an early spring mushroom. They can be found through summer and fall. They tend to grow much more quickly in summer and fall, so it's hard to get them at this prime time. They are a polypore mushroom, so we talked about chicken of the woods earlier that grows out of stumps and logs, and it doesn't have gills. This is the same, in the same umbrella as that. And they do look like a pheasant's back on top. They almost look like sort of emanating feathers from the from the inside of the top of the cap. They have pores underneath. They tend to grow on stumps and logs. The curious thing about this mushroom is especially when it's really young, it is really nice and tender and juicy. The odor when you first pick it is basically like cucumbers or like watermelon rind. It has this, it's hard to explain, but as soon as you smell it, you're like, yep, that's it. That's watermelon rind. We all know sort of what it smells like. When you get a whiff of this, you're like, yeah, that's exactly what it is. And very often it's like sort of poo-pooed on a lot of mushroom forums because people are like, this thing is like leather. It tastes horrible. And I think people are either harvesting them when they're too late and they're kind of like too big and too tough, or they're not cooking them properly. And this is a good time maybe to talk about, you know, just cooking mushrooms and why we need to do it a certain way to really bring out the flavor. When I mentioned that those taste like bacon, especially if you kind of slice them thin and like overcook them, like overcook your mushrooms. Like actually it's impossible to overcook most mushrooms. Kind of lightly cooking mushrooms doesn't really bring out their flavor too much. They will exhibit what's called the Maillard reaction. This is a reaction that we get with like steaks and chops and things that you sear and they turn brown. And that's basically sugars caramelizing. And that's what brings out the flavor. Well, mushrooms would do the same thing. So if you're just kind of steaming them or sauteing them really low and slow, yeah, they're going to taste good. But turn up that heat. Get a sear on them, or otherwise cook them until they get golden and caramelized, and the flavor is going to be absolutely change for the better almost every single time.
That is fascinating. Mm-hmm. Although I saw I was perusing your website, you have a font of information there. It was awesome.
Oh, great.
I got lost for several hours. But the crown-tipped coral, though, you say low and slow.
Low and slow on those. Yeah. So, the crown-tipped coral, I found, because I've been giving this advice to everybody, this is how I've been cooking mushrooms for a long time. I tried to do that and they tasted kind of bitter. I couldn't kind of get that like browning on them without them turning bitter. But they have so much flavor on their own and such a great texture that even just kind of like low and slow in butter or even in a dry pan, like a dry nonstick pan, you can kind of cook a lot of mushrooms that way. Maybe add a little oil or butter later, but basically cooking that low and slow to me is the best way to do it. Again, there are a couple of other species out there that you don't want to cook for too long. There are mushrooms particularly that grow mostly in the fall called shaggy manes. They're these kind of tall, skinny mushrooms, white mushrooms that often grow in lawns and yards. But what happens if you cook them too long, they kind of they break down into like a black goo. They're under the umbrella of what we call ink cap mushrooms that sort of basically auto digest themselves and turn into kind of a black goo. That's how they spread their spores. But if you cook some of these mushrooms a little too long, that can happen. So again, there are always exceptions with mushrooms. It's like everything is consistent until it isn't. And there's always exceptions with, with certain edibility, how you cook them, how you preserve them. But we can usually say for the most part, this is how you can do it.
So it's like the English language.
Exactly.
We would love to have 5 more people join us for this mushroom identification class. And we have 5 minutes left in the hour. So don't miss your chance to attend. Because this is our spring membership drive, and you're running out of time to make a gift today. When you give $10 a month, you get a copy of the Appalachian Mushroom Identification Book. You can give now at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. But if you really love mushrooms, you're going to want to attend our special class. You're going to want to bump that donation up from $10 a month to $15 a month. It's like the price of a coffee at Starbucks. So for $15 a month, you get a ticket to a WOSU Public Media Mushroom Identification class with Don King, the mushroom hunter. You can join him and me Sunday, May 19th at 1 p.m. Don't miss this one-of-a-kind experience for WOSU members only. It's $15 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $180 for your ticket to this event. Plus, everyone who attends also gets the copy of the book, Appalachian Mushrooms, which is the ultimate mushroom field guide. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Perhaps you listen to All Sides often. If you do, then you know that we work hard to bring you a diverse range of topics, from politics to mushrooms, from the news of the day to long-term trends. You're going to hear about it all on this show. Our goal over time is to bring you all sides of issues that matter to you. This is something that only happens on public radio. To support local programming that is truly local, go online to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And thank you to Richard Stander from Dublin. Only 4 more to go to make this hour a success. And remember, you have time to, And remember, you have to give now to get a spot in our special mushroom identification class. So don't miss your chance. It's an exclusive for WOSU members only. And I should add that parking is included, and we're going to have some light refreshments too. It's going to be a great afternoon with other WOSU members, and we're going to have a lot of fun learning about mushrooms with Don King. And your gift supports public radio. If you listen to All Sides, then we're asking you to support the programs you listen to and value. You listen to 89.7 NPR News because you know you can trust the news you hear. So make this fun drive a great success. Call 866-897-9678 or give at WOSU.org. Give $15 a month and get access to this mushroom class and the great book. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. We have 2 minutes left, so don't wait. Make your gift right now. And I don't know what I can ask you in the last 2 minutes other than, like, just tell us a little bit more about the class.
Yeah, so I guess the idea is that not only I'll try to bring in some wild mushrooms to look at, to show people.
But, and you can bring your own, too.
You can bring your own, too. Or again, we talked about bringing photos right on your phone. That would work as well. I'll have a PowerPoint presentation that'll go through some of the most sought after spring mushrooms, what to look for, how to identify them. I'll also, what we didn't touch on was sort of where you're allowed to forage for mushrooms and look for them, which is kind of important. I'll cover that. Just sort of like a brief mushroom hunting 101 maybe.
And etiquette.
The mushroom hunting etiquette and laws and that. So you're not going to get fined for taking it, let's say, from a metro park. It's kind of a no-no. But we'll talk about anything, answer any questions that you might have as well.
And it's going to be a great day with Don King. This is WOSU-FM and HD1 Columbus, 89.7 NPR News, global, local.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.